All right. I would like to introduce the first speaker, Randy L. from the Recovery and Clearview Group of NA in the Butler area.
Hey, everyone. I'm Randy Manatic.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
All right. First and foremost, my clean date is April 1st of 2017. April Fool's Day, you know, of all days. And yeah, my buddy, I have a couple friends coming in from out my way. They said, open the meeting with a 20-minute moment of silence. Give us a chance, you know. And I was like, yeah, it's your fault for sleeping in. But anyway, I guess my topic today is step two and hope. And at first I was like, oh, man, step two, coming to believe, you know. And I was like, you know what, hope's probably a good one for me because I've been around these rooms since 2012 is when I first tried to get clean. And I've had it over the year clean several times and decided to go back out. Like I said, decided. It was a decision. It was a choice I made with a sound mind and body, you know what I mean? And took me through a lot of places I didn't want to be. And met a lot of people that I probably wouldn't want to know, you know, had I stayed clean in the first place. But this program saved my life in more ways than one, you know. And sorry, I'm a little nervous. I don't know why. Sometimes I get nervous, sometimes I don't. You know, I'll get out of the way though soon. And but coming to believe for me, at first I thought it wouldn't be hard because I grew up in the family. We prayed before we ate all the time, you know. My mom took me to church. I went to catechism and everything. And you know, because I had a belief of a higher power that I thought was normal, you know, but it wasn't my higher power. It was the higher power that they told me to believe in. So coming to believe for me was more like a process that I'm still going through on a daily basis, you know, because my higher power is always evolving and changing in ways, you know. And I'm not going to try to project my higher power on other people, let me put it that way. But when I came to believe, it says I came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to recovery. Restores to sanity, sorry. My thing was, my coming to belief was that, was I worthy of being restored to sanity, you know? I didn't believe that I deserved this life that I was getting. And, you know, I can't really talk about hope without talking about desperation first, because without it, how do I show hope? How do I express it, you know? When I first came into these rooms, it was through the court systems in a way, you know. I was arrested in Allegheny County and put in the jail cell. And they said, you know, after sitting there for 24 hours in this little holding cell, puking my brains out and sleeping on sandwich bags and stuff, they pulled me down into intake and they're like, we need to call someone to verify you are who you are, you know. And I come from a pretty big family. I'm the youngest of five. And there was not a single person I could think to call to say, you know, who I am, because no one wanted anything to do with me. You know, when I finally was backed off that ledge and started falling over, I had no hands reaching out to help me out. And it was a sad moment, and like I had this moment of clarity, or I like to call it a spiritual experience, not like a spiritual awakening, but like an experience, because like I got all, I don't know, I felt different, you know, and I had this moment to where I thought, okay, there's got to be something better than this, because if this is all life is, then I don't really care to be in it, you know. Because I don't know. I lived in a tent for 3 months, and I thought it was manageable because I still had a job. I had an alarm, battery-powered alarm clock, and I had an Xbox with no TV, you know. So I was like, oh, well, life's not that bad. I still got a girlfriend, too. And I actually thought it was manageable, you know. But at that moment, I decided that I had to do something different. And I talked to my family, and my dad's like, go to rehab, you know. And I called my sister up, and she's talking to me about it. And I'm like, get me into a rehab. She's like, get yourself into a rehab. And like, you know, I know it's not really the facilities that changed my way of life. It was this program, but it was the facilities that introduced me to it, you know. That first time I came in, I ended up getting a year and a half clean. And I thought I had arrived, you know. I felt like, okay, this is it. Had this ego up to here. Was dressing in nice clothes, and I thought that was all it was about, you know. being able to show other people how good I'm doing instead of believing that I'm doing good on the inside, you know. It was I was judging my self-worth off of other people's opinions, you know. And I ended up going back out over it. I came back. Hey, I'm not going to talk bad on Johnstown or anything, but for me, it's not the best place to be, okay? I know all the wrong people. When I came back to Johnstown and I tried to... Okay, I'm going to say Captain Save-A-Ho. I tried to save Max, you know. I figured I could get her clean, man. And I'll point her... I figured I was doing it right. I pointed her to the women, said, get a sponsor. I had wrong motives, you know. I was looking at things the wrong way. I wanted her clean for the wrong reasons. I wanted her to be clean so we could be together instead of wanting her to be clean so she could find a new way to live too, you know. And when she started getting high, it wasn't long after that I started getting high too. Except this time when I was homeless, I had a car to live in, you know. It was a little bit better, so I was parking in my my employer's parking garage, sleeping in my car. And, I mean, it just kept getting worse, you know, like everybody's story. I'm sure people can attest that, like, things never get better when you're in an active addiction, but it's quite the opposite whenever you're in recovery, you know. I ended up moving back to Johnstown. But at that time I relapsed, it was more than just that. I ended up getting hurt. I used work as my new drug, you know. I overworked constantly. And I ended up hurting my back pretty bad. I had to get back surgery. And my old man's like, oh, you can move back in with me. You know, you did so good. He told me he was proud of me for the first time in like 10 years. Let me move back in. And then I completely destroyed that relationship, you know. I got this this sense of entitlement that what was his was mine. And, you know, whenever I came back around, though, this time, what was different was that I decided that, like, it wasn't about the monetary things. It wasn't about showing people how well I can do. It was about feeling better for myself. You know, I still struggle with these character defects because I'm a people pleaser. You know, I'm on step 7 right now. And, well, kind of. My sponsor gave me homework to complete step 6, but that's another step altogether. And like, my higher power evolved, too, you know. Like, I found a loving, caring entity that I choose to believe is going to do what's in my best interest. And I gave up control, you know. I always try to control the situation. That was a big thing, too. I found the spiritual principle of hope, and I call it, you know. They say hope is a strong belief in something or wanting something to be so. I'm like a good act. I Googled it, you know what I mean? And, you know, I wanted a better life for myself. I didn't want to keep going on the way that I was. And I wanted my family back. And I ended up finding something so much better, you know what I mean? They said make a list of where you think you'll be after a year or two. And, man, I can't believe what I thought of myself then, you know what I mean? I must have thought so little of myself to think that was all I could accomplish. You know, because of this program and the people in it, I've done so many good things and helping others, you know, volunteering my time to the good causes. And I actually got involved this time, you know. I got sponsees today. I'm a part of area. Like, they trust me with the money. I'm the treasurer. I couldn't believe it, you know. They're like, here, you can work the books. I mean, I don't actually have hands on the money, but at the same time, like, just to see that other people, what they see in me gives me some hope for myself too, you know. There's another person from my area. So sorry, I got lost for a second there. But I mean, this program has done so much for my life. I can't even express the way I feel for it, because if it wasn't for me coming to these rooms, God knows where I'd be. You know, probably dead or in prison. And I apologize. I'm getting a little lost here, but put it this way, I had George Parker in the law in there, right? And I thought him that my criminal record. And I actually recently had a DUI, so I didn't even have a license. And they still took me in anyway. And I did whatever took to make it work, you know. I was getting dropped off in Pittsburgh in the mornings, and I had to just find a way home in the evenings. You know, most of the time I catch the bus or get dropped off, but I did whatever it took, and that's what they say about this program. It's not for the people that want it. It's not for the people that need it. It's for the people that are willing to do whatever it takes to get it. You know what I mean? Because, like, it's not easy, but it's so much better. You know, you have to work for these things. And I don't know. I'm blessed today. I ended up finding more responsibilities in my life, too. Like, I got a girlfriend now that has two kids, two little boys, and they both look up to me so much, you know. Call me dad, even. And I love them, too, you know. And I'm trying to do the next right thing for them, too. And, like, they didn't... I'm not going to tell anybody else's story, but they didn't exactly have the best upbringing so far yet either. And, like, I know when I was growing up, my parents were both in trouble, so they belong in the rooms too, you know what I mean? And I didn't have it that easy either, and I'm trying to do things differently with these two. And, you know, I still struggle now and then, but, like, life's good now. And I owe it all to this program. I'm sorry, it's still early in the morning. I just got done driving 100 miles, and I wasn't really ready to get into this, I guess. But, yeah, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Sorry.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate you speaking today. All right. I'm still an addict named Mark. I would like to introduce the second speaker, Brittany N. from the No Reservations Group of NA. And what area is that?
Greater Morgantown.
Greater Morgantown area. Go as long as you can.
I'm Brittany. I'm an addict named Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
So this was my first retreat I ever went to. And I always like to start my leads off with talking about, like, when I was in treatment and, like, H and I would come in. And I remember being hopeless and hearing these people come in and share the message. And I would think, like, that will never be me. I will never have any amount of clean time. I will never have anything to say to people. And, like, I'll never have that shit. So, like, the fact that I'm here and I'm standing in front of you sharing some experience, strength, and hope is, like, hope and a miracle in itself. I got asked to speak here, and I got asked to speak in my home group in the same week. And I was, like, an emotional wreck, and I remember crying about it. And I'm like, don't these people know I have all this shit going on? And, like, I have nothing to share. But, I mean, I'm in a little bit better of a place. But to qualify myself a little bit, my clean date's December 9th, 2010. The first time I got here, I would not say that I was an addict. I was more than willing to say I belonged to the other fellowship. But, like, I didn't feel like I belonged. When I was in treatment, I would hear all these, like, experiences about, like, the things people did and, like, the traumatizing things that got people here. And, like, I didn't have any of that, so I thought. Like, nothing traumatic happened to me as a child. And I didn't do, like, a bunch of my yes yet. So it obviously didn't work. I had to go out and do some more research. But, like, I thought once I didn't physically need the drug, and once I got rid of the man, that was another part of my drug, that I could use successfully. But the first night I relapsed, the very first thing I did that next morning was dig through my parents' recycling bin. And, like, a month or two later, I was jobless, unemployable, hopeless, and a bunch of those yets happened. And, I realized that, like, my experience is bad enough whenever I fucking say it is. It doesn't have to be, like, your same traumatic experience. It's just, you know, I have to be willing. So I remember the person who dropped me off at that last treatment center before I got out of the car. They said, Just do whatever they tell you to do. If they tell you to stay 30 days, stay 30 days. If they tell you to go to long-term treatment, do that. Blah, 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 blah. Like, just do whatever they fucking tell you to do. And I said okay, and I thought I was willing, but, like, I, of course, had a plan as to how that was all going to go. And then I remember I got called into the counselor's office, and we were looking at halfway houses, and I said I'd go to any of them except for Johnstown. I didn't know anything about fucking Johnstown. I just knew I didn't want to go. And sure as shit, the next day he said, well, you're going to Johnstown. So Johnstown's where I first got clean. And I remember early recovery sharing in a meeting about the second step, and, like, I always have to complicate the shit out of everything. And I thought I had to have, like, a complete understanding of what my higher power was at that time. Like, I needed to know what it was, who it was, what it looked like, what it wasn't. Like, I needed to have it all fucking figured it out. But step two just says we came in to believe that a higher power. And at that point, all it had to be was loving, caring, and kind. And I didn't have to believe that I was restored yet. I just had to believe that that was a possibility. And looking back, or no, when I shared about that in a meeting about how I was struggling with the whole concept, someone shared afterwards and was like, you know, coming into a meeting and sharing about the fucking shit that's in my head is step two. You know, reaching out to an addict when I'm struggling, talking about the shit that's going on. Like, because once I keep that stuff in, then I start to, like, act out on it. But once I say it out loud, not only am I more aware, people are aware, and they know, like, how to help me more. And I didn't necessarily see, like, back then at the time, but, like, looking back, I can see, like, how step two applied to my life, like, immediately. I was never the type of addict that took, like, every suggestion. I always had to bang my head off the wall a few times. There was this one guy in town that we were all told to stay away from, and that was the one I fucking wanted. So I was sneaking around town with him, doing all kinds of shit I wasn't supposed to be doing. And then I found out that the house knew about it, and I was going to get, like, in trouble. So, like, the whole way home, I'm thinking of how I'm going to lie to get out of this situation. Like, I had it all fucking figured out. And when I got into the office and she asked me about it, I just fucking told the truth. I probably told her a little bit too much information, but I told the truth. So, like, that right there is, like, a part of being restored, because I don't fucking tell the truth. I lie. Especially when it's a situation that makes me uncomfortable. It's been a part of my recovery that I like to move every 30 days. I've moved a ton. I got my solid foundation in Johnstown, which, like, I'm super fucking grateful for that, because I learned there, like, how it's supposed to work. I learned there how it does work. I learned there how to, like, build relationships with people and, like, women. And I had relationships with men that didn't want to sleep with me, or I didn't want to sleep with them, because, like, that was a big struggle for me in early recovery. And there's been men in my life who have saved me when I can't save myself. But it's, like I said, it's been a part of my journey to move quite a few times. So I think it was right around 2 years I moved. And thank God I kept in contact with some of those people that I built relationships in early recovery, because I probably wouldn't have survived without that, because I moved to a new area, and I would show up to a meeting and say, hi, I'm Brittany, an addict. I just moved here, and I, like, had these expectations on how I expected people to react to me as a newcomer. Like, they're going to flock to me. Like, they're going to call me. They're going to help me get connected. They're going to do this. And when that didn't happen, I said, fuck it. And that was my story for, like, a long time. It was my story in York, Pennsylvania. It was my story in, like, Morgantown, West Virginia. And then I moved to Fairmont, and I got a little bit connected there. I got a sponsor. I asked this lady to sponsor me, because I really, she dropped a lot of F-bombs like me. She has a Rottweiler like I did. She is super fucking spiritual. She knows what her higher power is. And, like, it was always taught to me to find someone who has something that you want, and that's what I wanted. And I can't commit to shit, so I asked her to temporary sponsor me, and she's like, fuck that, we're either doing this or we're not. So, and she's my sponsor still today. And because of her, I was more willing to, like, get back involved in the rooms. Like, I got a home group again, I was working some steps, and, like, as soon as I start doing those, like, minor things of just showing up to a meeting, I immediately feel better. But then I moved to Morgantown again. And that's been a struggle for probably 3 years. Because once again, I show up in the rooms, I cry about how miserable I am, and I would expect you people to work my program. And over, I would leave. You know, thank God I didn't pick up. You know, and I would still talk to people from this area, and they would say, do you have a sponsor? Do you have a home group? Are you going to meetings? And that shit would just piss me off, because I don't like to be told about, like, what I'm doing wrong today. But fortunately, I kept calling and picking up the phone anyway, even though every time I would call, they'd ask me these questions. And, like, it really gave me a sense of, like, guilt and shame, because, like, I know what the solution is today. But, like, I go through these periods of time where I think, like, I don't know if I think I'm, like, recovered or if I think, like, I don't know. I just think I don't need Narcotics Anonymous. And every few months I would end up in a corner crying. I want, you know, to quit my job, wanting to leave my husband, wanting to, like, change all these outside things, but never wanting to change me. And all along, I knew it was a me problem, but I was never willing to fix that. A few months ago, you know, and it sucks. It always takes, like, an extreme amount of pain for me to either take a suggestion or for me to, like, wake up and make some changes in my own program. And a couple months ago, I caught my husband in the bathroom with a debit card and a dollar bill. And it rocked my world. You know, and people always told me, one of you will use, if not both of you. And that happened. You know, and it sucks to say, but I am, in a sense, grateful for that, because it woke me the fuck up. And like I said, it sucks that somebody else has to suffer for me to start working on myself again. And right around that time, I dug right into Narcotics Anonymous again. I got a home group. I'm still hitting 4 or 5 meetings a week. I started doing H&I again, which I fucking love H&I. Like, I loved it in the beginning. And, like, I feel like the where I'm at today, like, in the rooms, is what I've been searching for the past 5 years. I speak to women every day. I have a support. I have men in my life who I don't want to fuck, or they don't want to fuck me, and we have, like, real relationships. And, like, this time around, it became real clear the insanity of me showing up here, crying about my life and how miserable I am, and then leaving over and over and over again, and expecting something to be different. And, like, I couldn't understand why it wasn't different. Like, I couldn't understand. Like, don't these people know I'm struggling? Just because I have a few years clean doesn't mean I'm not hurting as bad as the fucking newcomer. Like, I expected people to break down my walls without me doing a damn thing. So it took some pain. And, you know, like I said, where I'm at today is what I've been searching for the past few years. And, like, I finally feel like I have it again. And it's just, like, the simple step of showing up to a meeting again. Immediately, I feel that relief. And then I start working some steps again. And every time I sit down, like, I learn something new. And, like, I'm surprised by that shit. Every time it happens, I'm surprised. Like, obviously, the steps work. Like, this program works. I don't know why it still shocks me. You know, and I've I've been around here for a minute, but I haven't been at the same time, and like I constantly beat myself up because like I've chosen to turn my back to NA numerous times, and I've chosen to not do what we're supposed to do. But I'm finally gaining some like acceptance on that. That like I'm, you know, that's just my story. It's where I'm at. Maybe someone can learn from me, like. Don't do what I fucking did, because without NA, I'm a mess. I Googled hope, too, and the definition that I liked was a feeling of trust. And I've learned that hoping for something and, like, having hope, I think, is two different things. Like, I came here hoping for all kinds of fucking shit, like, hoping to... I don't know, get a job, hoping to have a family, hoping to, I know in early recovery, I remember sitting like in a group once and just crying, because I never thought that, like I said in the beginning, I never thought I'd have anything willing to give anybody, but I never thought I would be okay with Brittany, you know, and it took me a long time to get there, you know. Early recovery, I was doing all kinds of like shady, I don't know if shady is the right word, but all kinds of, like, not-so-spiritual shit, because just because I'm not putting drugs in me, I can put something else in me to make me feel better for about 3 seconds. And, like, I learned, once I stop doing all that shit, I'll start to feel better about myself. And it was just one simple suggestion one day someone told me, and I think it might have been you. I called her, and I had, like, all this chaos and crazy going on, and she's like, you know, Brittany, you don't gotta live like that today. And, like, something just clicked. I'm learning again, like, who I am, because I feel like somewhere along the way I lost myself. And I always said, like, I had a friend in the rooms, and she would call all the time, bitching and complaining about the same shit, but never being willing to do it. And, like, I would always think to myself, like, I sound like an asshole even saying that, but that's what I thought. And I thought to myself, like, I don't ever want to be that person who cries about the same shit over and over and over and over and over and over, but never being willing to make any type of change. You know, most recently, the Serenity Prayer, man, having the courage to do some shit that is uncomfortable, you know. It's just a pretty cool thing that I can believe in myself today. I can look at myself in the mirror like I'm not perfect by any fucking means. Like, I do shit that I should or shouldn't, and whatever. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I go to sleep and, like, I'm comfortable in my skin. Like, I can make mistakes and talk to people. As long as I talk to people about the shit that I'm doing, like, it's not necessarily okay, but it's, like, I'm not hiding it. Because once I start hiding those behaviors, then it's, like, a real bad place for me to be. But, like I said, I go to bed every night, and I'm good with where I'm at. Like, I made the biggest decision of my recovery a few months ago. And it was hard. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time. But this decision, like, uproots my whole life for the past almost 6 years. And praying for that fucking courage to do some shit that's going to be uncomfortable and hurt people that I care about. But unfortunately, not unfortunately, like, I gotta take care of myself today. I did not get clean for someone else's shit. And as selfish as that sounds, and it's the truth. But I made the biggest decision that I've made in recovery, and I've made plenty of decisions, and I've doubted every single fucking one. And this one I haven't doubted. The very first night I did, I had one night of doubt, a couple days of, like, super fucking depressed, a couple days of extremely pissed off, but, like, since then, good with the decision that I made, and I 100% believe it was the right decision to make. So, like, I think that right there is hope, you know, for someone who came into the rooms needing, not necessarily a man, but needing something or someone to, like, keep me together. Something that I've always was hoping for. And today I have hope that no matter what I do, as long as I don't fucking get high, no matter what, and as long as I continue to put one foot in front of the other and not start backtracking again, and as long as I do the next right thing, that it's going to be fine. Like, everything is going to be okay. And I've learned that being okay today is okay. But I don't know, I'm just super grateful to be here. Like I said, this was the first retreat I've ever been to. And I remember probably sitting in that retreat, listening to people share, thinking, like, that'll never be me. I'm just fucking wasting time here. You know, I thought I was going to die a junkie. And I'll always be an addict, but I'm a clean one today. How much time that was, but I think I'm about done.
Thanks, Brittany.